Let me share with you these scriptures this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, the story of feeding the 5,000. When Jesus heard about John, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When the crowds learned this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion for them and healed those who were sick. That evening, his disciples came and said to him, "This is an isolated place and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "There's no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here except these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, blessed them, and broke the loaves apart and gave them to his disciples. Then the disciples gave them to the crowds, and everyone ate until they were full. And they filled 12 baskets with the leftovers. About 5,000 men, plus women and children, had eaten. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. For me, and sometimes it's hard to discover the message within a particular text that I feel called to bring based on who it is that I'm going to be talking to that particular time. And sometimes I have to spend considerable amount of time praying and studying over a text in order to figure out exactly what it is I should do. It's not the case with this particular scripture, okay? I have preached at least 5 different sermons on this very same text. I have preached about Jesus' reaction to the death of his beloved John. I have preached on the disciples' lack of faith. I've preached on Jesus providing for us physically and spiritually. And, well, I guess the point is I won't preach all 5 of them here today. I've only picked one that I would like to talk to you about. This story is much loved by most people who have spent any time with the Bible. And there's actually some debate over whether this is one of Jesus' miracles or whether it is a parable of Jesus. We won't go into that today, but there can be absolutely no doubt about how important the gospel writers felt that this story was for us today. There's lots of important stories for us to study in the Bible. Begins with the very birth of Jesus. The birth story occurs not once, but twice in the Gospels. There are many, many miracles of Jesus. There's some controversy over how many. But none of them appear in all 4 of the Gospels. This story of feeding the 5,000, it appears in all 4 Gospels. And depending on how you read the text today, the story of feeding the multitudes appears 6 times within the Scriptures. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think there's a reason that we need and we are called to study this text to see exactly how it fits in our lives. So what do you think that the text is saying? What's so important that all 4 gospel writers felt compelled to make sure that we read and that we studied this particular text? Well, when I spend time with the scriptures, it helps me to try to put myself in the place of the people of the time, to try and understand what their lives might have been like at that particular time and place, social location, where they were in their lives, and perhaps to help me put my feet on firm ground while I'm studying. Picture for me a young family seated on the hill out here. They've been sitting all day listening to Jesus preach and teach and watching him heal. Perhaps they brought a family member with them in need of healing as well. Their little children are running around playing there with them. When the husband might say something like, "Lydia, we've been here for hours. The kids are starting to get fussy. I'm getting hungry. The crowds are so big, we'll never be able to get down close enough to Jesus to be able to touch him. We might as well just go home." And then Lydia might have said something like, "Stephen, do you know where we are? Our children will be able to tell their grandchildren that they were present when the Messiah that was promised to us in the law was teaching and preaching and healing the sick." I know. I'm tired. I'm hungry too. And I'd like to go home. But look, here's a little bite of bread. I brought us a meal, but look at all these people around. If they see that we have this food, they're all going to want a part of it to share it. Stephen says, "But look, here come the disciples. They're coming toward us and they're carrying baskets. What do you suppose could be in each of those baskets? Look, it's fish and it's bread, and there's plenty for everyone. There must be thousands of us. How in the world could they have enough food to feed all of us?" Does that help you at all? It always helps me make sense of what it might like to have been there. To picture myself sitting there in the sun all day, to feel the dust settling all over my clothes and my face as I'm there watching, and to feel the grass and the soil under my feet, to be there watching the one that they call the Messiah. And then suddenly, I'm holding a piece of bread in my hand and a little bit of fish in the other. Having seen Jesus bless what little food was available and sharing it with the great multitude that had gathered there today. So after I spent time with the text, after I read, studied, and imagined, the message I heard is one that calls us to care for one another, to love our neighbors. Jesus calls us to feed our sheep. And any of you that know me know that that's not a particular surprise. I can find a call for social justice, for loving our neighbors in any scripture, anywhere in the Bible. Bring it to me and I can tell you exactly how that tells us to love God and to love one another. This particular one, feeding the sheep, or you might like this better, it's known in some circles as the theology of food. I like that one. It started with the manna from heaven as the Israelites traveled through the deserts, to the story of Elijah's flour and oil and the barley loaves of Elisha, all the way through to the supper at Emmaus. And each of these food stories and this theology of food, we see that God's provision of food extends beyond ourselves. It extends to all of God's children, to all of those that are surrounding us. It is in this we see God's provision. We see God's special relationship with those that are in need. We see the way God loves the poor and the oppressed. And how Jesus' ministry came here to earth to fill those empty bellies. And just as importantly, to fill those empty souls. Jesus never loses sight of the need to feed his sheep. This particular day, Jesus is down in my imagination. His cousin and trusted companion, John, has been put to death, and Jesus has just found out about it. He's fleeing away from Herod. They've gotten in the boat, going away with no greater goal in mind than to rest, to find a place where they could simply sit and recuperate. And as they get close to the shore, they find out that the people have heard that they are coming and have streamed out from the cities along the shore. Thousands and thousands of people gathered there waiting for Jesus to arrive. The disciples would have pushed the boat off and gone to look for a quiet place to gather, but Jesus said, "No, these are my people. These are the people that need to see and hear and be healed. We'll stay here." The writer in Matthew tells us in this story that Jesus began to heal the sick. The writer of Mark tells us that he began to teach and to preach. I can't imagine that Jesus would have begun to lay his hands lovingly healing on these people without saying a kind word as well, as he continued to teach and to fill the physical and spiritual needs of each of the brothers and sisters that were gathered there that day. It seems that this is a story of feeding the needs of the people. Jesus is offered the loaves and the fishes. He blesses them and looks to heaven, and thousands are fed with baskets and baskets of leftovers. It's in this story that we are told that when God touches the ordinary, something is added to it. There is more when God is involved. God tells us to bring what we have and it will be increased. The miraculous miracle of multiplication. Anytime that I speak to a group, I'm preaching a sermon, I understand that there are those that might consider themselves to be a little more pragmatic when it comes to the miracles of Christ. Maybe you look for more scientific answers to the works of Jesus. Well, that's your prerogative. Maybe here's an explanation for you. The disciples knew they were going away. They knew they were going to be away from the cities and trying to rest. Is it just possible that they might have brought just a little bit of food with them? That they might have brought enough for them to eat? And is it Jesus chastising them there in verse 16 when he tells them, "You go feed my sheep"? Is it possible that that little bit of food that they had brought, they were saving for themselves? That they wanted to be able to care for themselves, and Jesus was embarrassing them with it? And is it possible that he blessed that and the disciples went to the edge of the crowd and began to share the meager amount of food that they had brought with them with those that were around them? Is it also possible that these crowds of people, like my fictional characters, Stephen and Lydia, knew that they were leaving town for the day? They knew they were going to be away from the city. possible maybe they wrapped up a little bit of bread and some salted fish and brought it with them that day. And as those in the front row were fed from the gifts of the disciples, perhaps the ones behind saw what was happening, the gift that was going on, in that they turned and began to offer some of what they had brought with them to those around them, and then those in turn offered what they had brought to the next. Would it be any less of a miracle for these people's hearts to have been turned than for bread and fish to suddenly appear? A miracle of changing people's hearts at the word of Jesus. There's a new movement out that is not as new as some people would have you think. It's called the New Monasticism, and it's laid out in a book by Jonathan Wilson Hargrove. It's called God's Economy. Several years ago, it was very popular. Some of you may have actually even read it. And in this work, Wilson Hargrove describes a world where we all care for one another, where we care for our neighbor before we even take care of ourselves. The model for this is in the Sermon on the Mount that Wilson Hargrove takes to heart. It's a principle of giving to whoever asks. Wilson Hargrove uses the example of the 5,000 that we've just looked at here today as a wonderful example of how this might actually work in the real world. We're to be in beneficial relationships with one another, not one way, but in beneficial relationships together. Those in need may receive, and those who can give, give. You see, this creates a new economy, one that is a step toward the sharing of God's shalom kingdom here on earth. Wilson Hargrove goes on in talking about the fallacies in his own program. He says that our sharing with the poor is a testimony to our broken economy. In other words, what he's saying is that the very need for us to share with the poor is an indication that our system is broken, and that we need a new way at looking at taking care of one another. We're all called to share what resources that we have in this world with one another. We're to share with God and with all of God's people when they need. We may feel that what we have is too small or too insignificant or just really wouldn't even make a difference in all the problems that our world faces today. But this story tells us that the most insignificant gift can make all the difference, because God is involved when we offer what we have. It's a faith process. We must trust that God will be involved, that God will touch it. It's the trust of Abraham and of Isaac. It's the trust of Gideon's small army. It's the opportunity to trust that we have every day when we step out into this world today that is hurting so much. We have the opportunity to bring forward our gifts to Christ with our faith in Christ and understand that this miraculous miracle of multiplication can have our gifts make all the difference. And then we can become one of those that are carrying the baskets of gifts into the world in which we serve. When we do that, then we see the abundance that comes back in the baskets of fish and bread that are left over. So, I guess really the only question left is how many loaves are you willing to share with one another? Christ has set this example for all of us in the very gift of his own life. Today we have the opportunity to celebrate that again.